If something's on your mind, making you mad, tips to stay kind, take time to breathe, put your head at ease, and let's talk about it.
Welcome one and all, and here we are. It feels like no time since our last episode. This is a brand new episode of Talk About It podcast. I hope you're all keeping well. So far, we've focused on short films that have made it through to the finals this year, but we have to remember as well all the incredible films that made it to regionals this year. So for this episode, I will be talking about the Regional Audience Choice Awards. These were such an incredible array of films that unfortunately didn't make it to the final, but still got an award in their regional heats. And I truly believe they all deserve. Everyone has said what a incredible array of films there were this year. And the bar was so incredibly high. It was like any other year. Everyone's agreed on that so far. So I've decided I'm going to chat with the Regional Audience Choice Awards winners because I think their films deserve to be heard. And they're such incredible films as well, none alike to the other. So before we dive into all these interviews, I want to introduce the Young Musician of the Week. As always, I'm delighted to announce that this week's talented young musician is Anna Lee Sheridan with her original song, Falling Through the Cracks. If you like what you hear on this episode, then I encourage you to give her a follow on Instagram at Anna Lee Sheridan. Her Instagram can also be found on my own Instagram page at underscore talk about a podcast, where I have posted the announcement of her feature on my episode. Anna Lee is a singer-songwriter from Dublin, and I feel like she has so much more incredible music to come. I cannot wait to hear what she puts out next. So I won't leave you hanging without any further ado. This is Falling Through the Cracks by Anna Lee Sheridan.
I found the things in my room yesterday. No, it reminded me how much had changed. How you moved to the city to get out of your parents' place. No, no, you're leaving me behind without a trace. And no, why? Oh no, I've grown. And no, why? Oh, you're probably doing fine. And do you kiss the city girls out there?
So I'm absolutely delighted to be chatting here with my friend today, Greta Thornton, about her first ever, I need to stress, her first ever short film that won Regional Audience Choice Award this year at Fresh. Greta, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so excited to be chatting to you. And I've said it, this is your first ever short film. I mean, what an accomplishment to win an award for it.
Thanks so much, honestly. Yeah, no, it is my first short film and I've wanted to make one for like so long, and I'm so glad I just like pushed myself out of the comfort zone and just went for it, really.
Definitely. And here you are. Look, it's incredible. So tell us a bit about your short film. What's it about? How you're inspired to make it?
So basically it's about these two girls, and it's all kind of about the term Sonder, and that's like every passerby you meet is like has a whole life of their own. So these two girls meet, and then they kept like kind of bumping into each other, and then they're good friends and they get to know each other, and it just kind of like resembles like friendship in a way, but also kind of like people watching.
I mean, it's such a touching short film, and it's so scenic as well. I think that's something that really intrigues me about the short film. Like it's so scenic, and there's loads of just beautiful scenes throughout the short film. So where did you shoot it?
I actually shot it in Galway because I am from Galway, but I moved to Donegal, and the two actors in it are my friends from Galway, my two good friends, Aisling and Eva. So yeah, we just filmed it in Galway, and in Galway City. That was the last kind of scene, was in Galway City, mainly because it's just like I know a lot of the places really, really well, and like I had them in mind when I was when I like wrote my script. I actually wrote my script June 2021, so it was like just when I finished fifth year, because I was like, look, if I don't do it now, I never will, to be honest. So I was like, I sat myself down and I was like, I really want to do this, and I made the script up like most of June.
Amazing. And tell me then about, you know, the word Sonder, and how you're inspired to make a short film surrounding this word, because not many people knew what it was when, you know, they saw it's such an unusual word, you know what I mean? Yeah. So how did you come across it and use it in a film?
I don't actually know. I think it just came to me because I literally thought that, like, you know, when, I don't know, kind of like people watching, say if you're like even just in your car or like sitting down going out for dinner, like you kind of realize every person here has like their own life that like you just don't really know about. And I just
so true.
Really thought about that, and I was kind of like, I could make this into something. And I'd like every time a short film came up, like that would always just keep coming back, like that thought. I was kind of like, maybe I could just like, you know, see, like go with it. So that's kind of how I did. But Sonder means it's like the realization that each passerby has a life as vivid as your own. So just kind of they have their own life.
Which is such an incredible thought. And I think the film portrays it really well. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around sometimes. And I think you just did such a great job with it. So how did you get started in making a short film? Like, where did this media interest spark from?
A short film? Well, you see, I've been doing YouTube videos since I was 13, and I kind of wanted to like bring it up a level, because it's always kind of been progressing up to like making a short film and studying film after school. Like, that's the end goal for me, really. Like, I still do YouTube while I'm doing those things. But a lot of my friends, like Michael Keane and like Kevin Meggs, when I did the podcast with them last year, quick plug, Viral Convo, we did that podcast, and I actually went to the finals for Fresh online in 2021. And I met like loads of people online and like watched their films and stuff, and it really made me motivated to like actually make my own. And I'll just be like, oh, that would be a nice idea, but like really push myself out there and make my own, because I realized like how much work people put into it. And I was part of Michael's film Gashta, and it was just a really good experience, and I was kind of like, I really want to do something like this.
And I'm so glad you did. What was the YouTube experience like? Because I feel like that seems to be a common theme with a lot of short filmmakers. A lot of people started, I don't want to say start their careers on YouTube, but kind of their love of media grew from YouTube and even just watching YouTubers.
Definitely. I just kind of started with, I don't even know. I remember one day I was kind of like, I just want to see what YouTube's like and start. And I'm really glad I did, because honestly, it changed my life in so many ways. And I'm still a very small YouTuber, but like I got so many opportunities that, like, if I told myself all this stuff would happen to me, I'd be like, nah. So yeah, I'll just be kind of making vlogs. I still do making vlogs about school, you know, lifestyle stuff. And it was kind of in 2019 when my channel really grew, like, a lot, which I'm still, like, still shocked by, like, 3 years later. But I did a lot of, like, teenage disco videos and junior cert videos and different collabs with YouTubers and stuff. And that's what I kind of got known for. And it just kind of went from there, to be honest, and kind of branched out to different things like the podcast and the short film, because to not just put myself in one box of YouTube, which I still love to do. Like, I will always love to do YouTube, because it's, like, how I became to love film and, like, you know, grew from that.
It's amazing. And what would you advise any young person kind of interested in the media but don't necessarily know where to start? Would you encourage them to do YouTube?
Definitely, especially now that TikTok is so big. Like, when I was 13, like, TikTok wasn't as big. Like, you can really start anywhere now. Like, you can start from TikTok or YouTube. Like, it doesn't just have to be YouTube videos, because I know a lot of TikTokers, once they get big, they actually go onto YouTube. So that's, like, a common theme as well. But really, like, if you want to do something, like, just do it. Like, I know you'd be like, oh, what do people, like, in school think and all this, but really, just if you want to do it, just do it, because you don't know what could come out of it, you know what I mean?
No, definitely. And can you tell us what the main difference is between YouTube and short films? And I know people are probably rolling their eyes thinking that's a really silly question, but bear with me. What is it like, you know, preparing and editing a YouTube video compared with editing and preparing a short film? Because pre-production goes into both, editing goes into both, directing goes into both. So for me, I'm kind of interested in what the main difference is between a short film and a YouTube video, as someone who never ever considered going on to YouTube.
Well, both, as you said, consist of, like, you know, a lot of editing, filmmaking, like, planning. But I think the main thing with a short film is, like, you have a certain idea, and, like, you know, we have to make a script, and there's a lot more into it than a YouTube video. Like, don't get me wrong, me editing YouTube videos can take anything from, like, 6 to 10 hours. Like, depends on the video. I'm sure a lot of people can relate that do YouTube and different videography. But with short films, it's like, you know, I spaced it out over a very long time, like, just short under a year. And, like, you wouldn't really need to take that long to make a YouTube video. So I feel like a lot more time goes into short film and a lot more, like, thought. Like, YouTube videos have a lot of thought, but I think short films have definitely more thought and, like, a more of a theme going on.
And what was it like in experiencing making a short film? What was that kind of experience like, opposed to, I suppose, on your YouTube channel there, you can give yourself a plug and share your channel name, but you know, you film 90% of it in your own room. So what was it like going out and I suppose recording publicly, let's say?
Well, cheeky plug, my YouTube is Greta Thornton, just my name, if you're wondering. Publicly recording, especially after COVID, like, even in my vlogs, you know, if I was vlogging out in town or stuff, like, you'd be outside, but more in the short film is, like, you know, you bring in all the gear, like the tripod, you know, the whole thing, the script, like, everything. Like, where I filmed, it was kind of a quiet spot. Like, I didn't really want to film, like, in the streets of Galway, because I knew, you know, different, like, people could get in the way and stuff like that. But I just picked a nice location. I still had a buzz of atmosphere to it. But yeah, it's kind of, like, not scary, but definitely up a level than, like, filming in my room. But I was kind of used to it, because in my vlogs from ages, like, I just kind of grew thick skin to, like, film in public. And when I have that, it's basically, like, similar to when making a short film.
Okay, and that's really interesting, like, how there's such a difference. But what was it like then entering Fresh and being in Fresh this year? You said last year you were a part of it online. You hadn't entered a short film, but you were still, you know, a part of it. So this year you would enter the film. So what was it like being a part of that buzz and that atmosphere at the Fresh regional finals this year?
So I entered my film, and honestly, I was, like, so excited to just enter it. It was kind of like a goal, because, you know, you can always make a short film, but, like, Fresh is almost like a goal for young people to, like, what to do with their film now. Like, you can make a short film, and, like, that is very valuable, but, like, to enter into like fresh, for example, is like such a reward, like as an aim for your short film. So I ended it in around late January time. And I was like, look, I'll just see where this goes. Honestly, like, it's just so good that this is here for young people that are interested in film. So I entered it in, and then I got the email saying I got through to regionals. And I honestly couldn't believe it. I was kind of like, I went up to my mom and I was like, oh my God, I got into Ulster regionals. And I was kind of like, what? Like, I was like, I did not expect this at all.
And then and then winning the regional audience choice awards, I feel like there's a funny story behind this, and I felt kind of guilty, but we were chatting over and back about your short film, Sander, on Instagram, chatting over and back, and the next thing I know, I see this, I go on to Fresh's story on Instagram, and lo and behold, it says congratulations to Greta Thornton, who won the regional audience choice award with her short film Sander. So I go text Greta congratulations, and she doesn't even know that she's won. So I'm the one who breaks it to her. Fresh doesn't even get a chance. I'm there front and center telling her, and I felt kind of guilty. It didn't come from Fresh, it came from me. But was that experience like getting that text from me?
No, honestly, like, I'm glad you did, because I could have just went away studying or like eating my dinner, just not knowing for ages. So I'm kind of glad you did, or else honestly, like, I might have just missed knowing. But yeah, I was chatting to Emily, and we're chatting about my film, and I was just like, oh, like, I'm so excited I got through to Ulster. It was like that alone, I was so excited with. Like, I did not expect anything. Like, I was so chuffed that I even got through the regionals. And I was like, yeah, it's like such a good experience because it was online. Most of them were in person, but Ulster's was online along with like two other ones online. So yeah, then I got the text and I literally went over to the Instagram and I was like, what? I was like, what? I was like, the whole post that says like congratulations to Greta Thornton audience like choice award. And I was kind of like in disbelief for a minute. I was kind of like, is this actually happening? Like, wow. I was just so grateful, honestly.
And it's so well deserved. Listen, the link to your short film is in the description box below. People should definitely go watch it after listening to this entire episode. Please listen to the end. But unfortunately, we are running out of time. So I'm going to ask you, Greta, the final two questions of the episode that I ask all my interviewees. And the first one is, what is a quote you live by and why?
A quote I live by is, everything happens for a reason, because like it's just true. Like, everything does happen for a reason, good and bad. And you know, you just got to take it like that in life. Like, you can be sad over something, but you just be like, you know, it is how it is, and like there is a reason behind this. So that's what I live by.
I have to say, that's definitely one of my favorites. It's up there as well. I think it's so, so true. And listen, if one thing didn't happen, then you wouldn't be where you are today. Yeah. I truly believe that. So yeah, that's definitely a good one. And what is one thing you want people to take away from our conversation here today?
One thing I want people to take away is, if you have an idea, like short film or not, like whatever it is, if you want to do something, like, just do it, because honestly, like, you never know where it can take you. And it could be just such a good experience. And I'm so thankful for Fresh and like everyone that supported my film and just really pushed me to do it. And especially like my filmmaker friends, like Michael Keane and Kevin Meggs, like all of them, I can't name them all, but every single person that has like helped me along the way and like really supported me, because otherwise, like, honestly, that could have just been an idea, but thoughts become things. So
amazing. And may there be many more short films to come, and so much more success for your YouTube channel as well, Greta. I'll put the link to that in the description box below.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks.
So fantastic. I am absolutely delighted to be chatting here today with Sienna Graham. She's the director and actress behind her award-winning short film, Track Number 7. It was awarded the Audience Choice Award this year in the Dublin Regional Finals. How are you today, Sienna?
I'm very good. I'm so much happy to be talking to you. I'm so excited. I'm really, really pleased.
Oh my goodness, not at all. I'm excited to be chatting to you. I'm excited to be chatting to all the filmmakers that I have on. It's such a great experience. So firstly, tell us a bit about yourself and about your film.
Okay, so hi everyone. My name's Sienna Graham. I'm 16 and I'm a young actress and filmmaker in Dublin. So Track Number 7 is my first ever short film. And oh, what an experience. I loved making the short film. I think it definitely got me through different difficult periods of the pandemic. And I started, I think, writing it in junior cert time. So it was around kind of my end of junior cert, summer was starting, and I kind of had this idea of what I wanted to make for a short film. It had already been such a kind of difficult few months and or years, whatever year, whatever time it was. And I really wanted to make a short film that just I could, number one, could enjoy making and people could enjoy watching with everything that's gone on. I really wanted something that was uplifting and something that everybody could just relax and enjoy and, you know, kind of melt away into, I suppose. But yeah, so it follows the story of a young teenage boy called Daniel, and he works in a record shop with his best friend Rachel and ends up falling for a girl that shops a lot at the record shop called Delilah, or Lila, who I play in the short film. And yeah, so we kind of follow his first love interest of how he interacts with her and, you know, the kind of nervousness of even talking to her and building up his courage of, you know, how he's going to win the girl over. But also faces a bit of kind of difficulty with his friend coming to the acceptance of that. And yeah, we kind of see how that plays out and what happens.
It is such a cute film. And I think I just want to start at the very beginning of the film, because the first like minute is just a class introduction of great music. And just all around, you feel good going into it. Like one of those, it's all 70s music. They talk about 70s music in the film. And it's such a great kind of escape. Like you said, it really is an escape for the artist. Just come away and just to go into a film and enjoy that kind of music and the really cute teen romance story that just unfolds behind the screen.
Yeah. I was, well, you've kind of hit the nail on the head there. I really wanted to kind of, you know, I come from like a musical and kind of very much entertainment family, and that's all that I've kind of grown up surrounded by. So to write something that, as I was writing it and kind of writing little sort of cute little things in the storyline of going, okay, so how can I link this back to music, and I'd find different songs in the 70s that I'd be like, oh my god, it all works, it was meant to be, you know. So, you know, I really wanted to have lots of different musical influences from the 70s, and yeah, just things that, you know, our generation now are seeming to start getting back into using things from different eras and 70s and, you know, all those type of things. And it's also something that they come on to go, oh my god, yeah, I love using these sort of things, or records are very much back in, and tracks and cassette tapes. And then it's also something that, you know, even grown-ups, parents, that they might watch it and go, oh my god, yeah, that's so cool that I get that reference, or, you know, things like that. So I really wanted to make a short film that people could just enjoy all together.
Yeah, and people really, really can. I mean, what I loved about it was I just got a record player a couple of months ago. So to see, you know, the records being mentioned in the short film, I was like, oh, this is class, because I'm a huge music lover like yourself. Yeah. And, you know, you'll never find me without listening to a new song or a new artist, or love supporting young musicians on this podcast as well, as I'm sure a lot of people know. Obsessed with all that kind of stuff. So it was great to kind of watch a film and to be just absorbed in that. But how did you said you come from a musical family. What was the importance of you to incorporate that kind of music into the short film, and how did you do it?
That's a really good question. Well, both my parents were, my dad was a musician and my mom was a professional dancer. So there were, I always say, not even my Spotify account knows what type of music I like listening to, because it's so varied. So
I love, you know, that.
You know, my kind of wrap up at the end of the year is a wide mix. It never knows. But I think because those styles of music that range so widely, from U2 to, you know, Britney Spears, or, you know, Fleetwood Mac, loads of different artists, they're all ones that I've heard about and grown up listening to or hearing bits of songs, and I've grown up now and go, oh my god, I remember that song, I really liked hearing, you know. So I think it was a kind of just a more personal connection for me to use different things, and also what was available to me. Like, you know, I used the U2 record is my dad's, he has a record player, so I'd be like, can I just
amazing
today, it won't, you know, it'll be fine, it'll be, you know. But yeah, so I think that was more of a personal connection that I wanted to make with the short film. And then in terms of how I used it, I think it more so kind of wrote itself, if that, I know that's such a kind of cliche, oh my god, it just wrote itself. I was writing the short film, it kind of slowly pieces start to came together, and I was able to use different songs and references to link into, you know, different moments in the scenes that could be relevant. And, you know, I suppose as well, I knew I was going to play Delilah. So I was like, oh, you know, well, maybe she can say this and the people that get it will get it and know, oh, she's kind of trying to say this in this moment, you know. So I just really enjoyed kind of including those moments in the short film.
Yeah, it's amazing. And listen, it's your first short film as well. So to go to Fresh and to win the Audience Choice Award for the Dublin Regional Film, like, first of all, like, Fresh gets so many entries every single year. That is without a doubt. This year, more than any other year. But especially a lot of them come from the Leinster, Dublin area, out of all the kind of the four provinces as such of Ireland. The Leinster, Dublin area seem to get, you know, the highest amount of films submitted. So to win the Audience Choice Award, I say, must have been such a surreal experience, especially as your first short film.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it's still, I keep kind of looking back and kind of, it catches my eye, that little sort of plaque now that I have. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I remember, I think the first time I ever heard about Fresh was, I go to the acting school, I go to the Bow Street Academy in Dublin. And we've had a few past pupils, Cal Arnold for one, he had a short film called Pirates that I actually was in. I played an extra in that.
Oh my goodness, I know the film.
Yeah,
I know the film.
He won the Fresh Film Festival. And I remember him, that's before nice. It was screened there, screened at Bow Street. And I remember sitting and watching and kind of going, oh my God, we can, people like, you know, young people can do this. We can make our own films, and there's this festival that we can enter to, and it's for young filmmakers, you know. And I think seeing lots of young people kind of enter and, you know, have such kind of great success in it, and to kind of see the respect, I suppose, that, you know, young filmmakers should get, because we all, I think, we're a generation that we're willing to work hard and willing to kind of not just sort of say what our dreams are, but really go for them. And I remember just kind of going, oh my God, this is something I really want to do and take part in. So writing track number 7, I remember kind of thinking, right, this is it. This is the short film that I'm going to enter in the Fresh Film Festival. And that was in my mind when I was writing it, and I'd have different kind of images flash in my head of going, oh, well, it'd be really, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But I was like, gosh, you know, I'd imagine sitting and watching my film and kind of, you know. And then I remember getting the email and it from Fresh after I'd entered it, and kind of was like, right, okay, it's been a few weeks and I haven't heard anything. I was like, okay, I'm not going to get my hopes up, because, you know, I'm just going to, you know, stay calm. And then I got the email. I remember kind of reading it, going, they kind of said at the start how many submissions and stuff, and I was thinking, this is it, they're building up to say, we're really sorry, you know, it hasn't gotten through. And then it's like, we can't wait to see you at the Odeon Cinema. And I was like, oh my God, it's done it. And, you know, I think I had COVID at the time when I found out. So it was,
oh,
like,
my goodness.
It was a major lift. I was like, oh my God. And then I'll never forget actually walking into the actual cinema we were going to watch the film in. And it's the biggest screen I've ever seen for an actual film. So I was like, wow. It was all just so surreal of kind of going, God, this is what I dreamed of in my room when during the pandemic, kind of writing on my computer and endless Zoom calls with people and you know, and to actually be there. And as well, my film was at the end, which was a bit worrying. So I was sort of just sitting there waiting, going, oh my God, this is it, it's coming up, oh my God. And then it was on there, and the opening started. And like you said, it's the very kind of upbeat, here we go sort of intro, which I always wanted. And just to hear the audience actually, their reaction, it was something that I had never thought about, but then realized how important it was. And I was going, oh my God, people are laughing. They're really, if people don't know, it's a rom-com. So I was kind of going, oh my God, people are laughing and they're enjoying it. And they're feeling for these characters and stuff. It was incredible. And then the cherry on the cake was just to hear that I'd won the Audience Choice Award, because it was the last film, and the buzz afterwards, after the whole day, was so amazing, addictive almost. You'd be like, wow, just want to, you know, stay here, don't want it to end, you know. And and I remember actually I was with my mum, my grandma at the time, and we'd gone to my mom's work, and, you know, just to, I think she wanted to show us around. And I got there, and then I at the time I wasn't on social media, and I just suddenly, my friend sent me a message saying, "Oh my God, congratulations." And I was like, "What?" And then I just saw the "Congratulations to track number 7, Audience Choice Award." And I was like, "Oh my God." And that this is me aloud. I kind of went, sorry, the poor listeners, though, their ears just been blown off, but going, "Oh my God, oh my God." And my mom's like, what? I was like, "I've won the Audience Choice Award," you know, so happy. It was a dream. It was such a kind of dream come true, from sort of imagining it and then seeing it. And then I was lucky enough, I got to show the people in my acting school, you know, screen it for them. And that was such a moment, because that was another thing that I'd been dreaming about since I'd watched other students' short films, going, "God, I can't wait. I just would love to watch my film in my, you know, in Bow Street with like the people in my class that we all work together and do scenes, and my teachers, you know." So it was just an amazing moment, amazing experience. Loved it.
It sounds like such a full circle moment. I have to say, oh my goodness, it's amazing to hear your story behind this film, because I think like this is, I've said it again and again, I'm going to keep saying it, and people are going to get sick of me saying it, but I will say it, that, you know, the reason I've done this season is for people to realize the stories behind the film, the people behind the film, the work that goes on behind the film. And I think as well, for a lot of people, it's such a full circle moment to come back at the end to win the award, or even just to get to the regional finals or the ultimate finals. It's such a full circle moment for so many people, and it means more than I think a lot of people realize. So to hear your story is just incredible. And it warms my heart, honestly, because Fresh do so much for so many. And, you know, I'd love them to realize it. And I hope they are realizing it through hearing filmmakers talk about their stories. I was lucky enough to go to the final and to be able to meet all these people. A lot of these filmmakers I had met online a couple of months ago, or maybe even a year ago. So to see them in person, I was like, oh my God, you're a human being. This is amazing. And you made that. You spent time making that. And everyone was just so passionate. And everyone had similar interests. And everyone, doesn't matter what part of the country you're from Kildare to Kilkenny to Donegal to Sligo, you were just talking to people. Do you know what I mean? There were people from everywhere. And it was just fantastic. I hope everybody, at least once in their life, has an experience where they're in a room with people as passionate and as dedicated and as excited about something as them, because there's no atmosphere like it, really. So I hope everyone kind of has that experience, whether you're in a science lab, or you're in a music theater, or wherever you are in life, be it out at sea sailing boats. So many people have so many interests, but I hope everyone kind of has one of those moments where they're like, okay, I'm surrounded by like-minded people with a like-minded passion. Because there's nothing like it. And I think you just put it so well.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, it just was true. It's, you know, you could just feel it when you were there. And, you know, even with, you know, there were people that I'd done acting summer camps with that I was like, oh my God, Seb O'Connor, who was in the winning short film of the Fresh Film.
The Least I Can Do. Fantastic. Yeah.
By Sean Tracy. We had done a summer camp, I believe, at Bow Street together.
No way.
So I saw him, and I was like, it was one of those moments where it maybe had been a year or two since we've seen each other, and I'm like, oh my God, Seb. And he's like, oh, Sienna, hi, how are you, you know? Or even I saw another friend of mine was in a short film, and Sonia, and I saw her on the screen first before I saw her in person. I texted her going, Sonia, are you here? And she was like, she came off to me office going, Sienna, you know, like, so it was a real kind of, not only was it a place where you could speak to people you didn't know, it was also a great place to kind of go to support the people you did, and kind of going, oh my God, this is amazing. You know, it was just, I think it's an amazing festival and experience for people to kind of go into and enter. But I think it's also a very valuable and kind of necessary, important thing to have as well, because it just, it brings so many kind of people together and so many amazing memories to so many people as well.
Definitely. Yeah, and long may it last. And long may it
long
last.
May it last. Yeah.
26 years strong. And I mean, RTÉ this year as well. It's just been incredible. Unfortunately, Sienna, we are running out of time. So I'm going to ask you the last two questions that I ask every interviewee. And the first one is, what does Quotey live by and why?
Oh, I saw when you asked me this, I was like, oh my God, because I have a full Pinterest board on my Pinterest account of quotes and lovely kind of messages and stuff.
Me too.
You just can't, you know, I can't help myself. And I was a bit like, oh my God, okay. And I think I've got them with me in front of me. There's still, there's like three in the running that I'm be like, which one am I going to say? I think one of my main ones that I kind of do quote a lot with, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I think that one is just, it's really relevant in a lot of different situations and ways, because I think we can all get so caught up in the things that, you know, we really are just, it might upset us or get to us, or, you know, but in the end, it's us, we're the ones that end up kind of getting hurt, I suppose, in a sense of kind of, you know, thinking over it and you know, oh, how could I have done it differently, or how could this, you know, how should I do it, what can I, you know. And sometimes there are just things that we can't change, we can't, you know, it's just the way the cookie crumbles and, you know, how the cards have been dealt. And then I think the other end of it is to the things that we can change in the world. I think that's another thing, you know, our generation are very good for, is the things that we see that are wrong. I think it comes with social media as well. We work to change it, and we stand up and we say what we think should be changed. And it's the courage of that, you know, to have that courage to do that. So especially even, I think it can just be fitted into so many things. For instance, doing this short film, you know, I wanted to make a piece that, you know, I could put forward, and I could, at the time everything had shut, I just started getting into short films, and then everything cut, like shut down, it was locked down, you know, there was no work. And I remember a teacher saying, well, if there's no work, you make your own. And I had to kind of, you know, I was like, yeah, nothing's happening, I'm going to make it, I'm going to do my own. So to have kind of people to have courage to change the things of, you know, the situation that they're in or where they find themselves. And then obviously the wisdom to know the difference, because sometimes it is just an uphill battle, and, you know, to let things go is sometimes what we deserve rather than holding on to them.
Yeah, so, yeah, you put it so beautifully. I've heard that quote before. It's never stuck with me until you said it. And that's what I love about asking people these questions. Like, I hear quotes that sometimes I've heard before, but just never in that context. Or yeah, I've heard quotes like one, I asked someone yesterday what their favorite quote was, and they quoted Picasso. I was like, oh my God.
Really?
I never thought of that. So I always just get so excited. So I've heard it before, but not in that context. And that's wonderful. I really, really love that, Sienna. And thank you. One thing you would like people to take away from our conversation here today.
Oh, I think I've mentioned it a few times now in this interview of just our generation in general, but I think we are such a creative generation, and we're also very ambitious people. And I think the kind of greatest freedom that we can give ourselves is to create and to dream big and to go for what we dream of and believe in, and, you know, work hard and know that how capable we are of doing it all. And also seeing the kind of, for instance, Fresh Film Festival gives young filmmakers and actors a place to show their capabilities and how willing we are to work hard and achieve what we want in life, you know, now and in the long run, you know. And I think, yeah, just for whoever it is that is listening, however old you are or who you are or what you are, you know, just, you know, to have that freedom of believing in yourself, if you can achieve anything at whatever stage you are at, you know, and, you know, to achieve what you really want in life, I think is the greatest kind of gift we can give ourselves. So I think that's what I'd like people to take away from this interview.
And I really hope they do, Sienna. Thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been amazing. Thank you so much. I'm really grateful. Thank you so much.
Perfect. So I'm delighted to welcome here today Peter and Nikki, who are the co-writers and co-directors, I believe, of Swan Song. And they entered their film into the Fresh Film competition this year, of course. And yeah, they've done amazingly. So guys, welcome on.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. So, Nikki, we'll start with you. Do you want to tell us a bit about the film and what's gone on in Fresh this year, how you got into Fresh?
To be honest, Fresh, I've known about Fresh for a while. Me and Peter did a film maybe, 2 years ago now?
2 years
Untitled. Yeah, and I actually wanted to submit it to Fresh at the time, but I think it was past the due, the due date. So when Swan Song was finished and I saw that Fresh was open, I thought like, oh, we have to do it. It's such an incredible kind of competition to have so many young people come together, especially in like an actual cinema and see their own films being screened. Like it's a really nice sense of like accomplishment after you've worked so hard on something to be able to see it on the big screen. It's kind of like, I think I've romanticized it a little bit for a while, but it was lovely to get accepted for once.
No, not at all. I don't think it's romanticized a bit because, you know, I went to the finals this year. I was lucky enough to be invited up there. And it's that atmosphere of like being able to see yourself on the big screen and the work that you've put in for months, weeks,
absolutely,
you know, on the screen. It's not romanticized. Like, it's a huge achievement. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's massive. So fair play to you guys. Peter, do you want to tell us a bit about the film, what it's about, your inspiration behind it?
So the film's called Swan Song. It's about, well, it's loosely inspired by the Irish myth of the Children of Lear, and it's kind of about a family dealing with the death of their mother, or not dealing with it very well, and kind of the conflict that comes between the children and the dad's new stepmother, the new wife that he's married. Really, I think we started just trying to create a film that captures Irishness, and that's why we based it off the myth. We went from there.
Absolutely. I think, like, as well, even with the story, fundamentally what we were trying to do was kind of show the relationships between the siblings as well, which we thought was really important to show how the siblings got along after such like it's a harrowing loss to lose your mother and to deal with this kind of, I don't know, maybe imposter syndrome kind of idea that they're struggling with. So yeah, similar to like just dealing with the relationships, really. Yeah, I don't know.
Listen, I've watched the film and it's absolutely class. It really, really is. I mean, the cinematography behind it is brilliant, and it's so well told. The story is so well told. And the actors behind it as well, I think, really bring the film together. I think
really? Yeah.
I think every director can agree, and they're nodding their head behind this. But like, yeah, I think finding the right actors to play a role carries the film. So what was that process like?
Well, we cast people that were in our school or past students, because originally the film was supposed to be for a arts festival that our school was putting on with a couple of plays and some live music, and our film was going to be screened. We didn't end up getting it done for the deadline. That's a whole story. But yeah, so we were casting people who were students or past students from our school. And it was actually quite interesting, because we had sort of ideas about the types of people we wanted for the characters, and we wanted specifically for the two parents of the family to be you know, past students who are a little bit older. And then one of the actresses that came in to read for the daughter role immediately was like interested in the role of the stepmother, who we hadn't really even considered casting a younger person for that. And so we got her to read for that at the end of her audition, and immediately it was apparent that like she was the one, just had to be her. She just fit the role so well. So it was kind of interesting to see our expectations for that be smashed by the actress.
But it's so great to have someone come up and actually be that for you, like reach that expectation.
I think we got very lucky as well. We had a lot of interest for I think our audition process was 2-3 days almost.
Yeah, it was very short.
Wow.
Yeah, we got quite lucky where we had choices. Like, usually when, I don't know, you're kind of directing an independent film, a short film with your friends, it's kind of you're writing roles for your friends almost, because it's hard to find that. We just wrote the script, and then we had so much interest thanks to the school as well, who were kind of advertising it, saying, oh, you know, auditions are open for this film. So yeah, I think we got quite lucky during that process.
It sounds amazing, lads. So from the sounds of this was not your first film. You said before you wanted to enter Fresh, you made a film 2 years ago. How did you both start filmmaking? Nikki, do you want to start first? And then Peter, continue. How did you both get interested in it?
Yeah, well, I think I've been interested in film for like a very, very long time. I think the first film I remember watching, which I remember kind of having that kind of impact on me, was like Donnie Darko when I was like 11 or 12 years old. I was like, wow, this is what you can do with film. But I think, what is it? I think we were about 15 at the time, Peter, were we? Probably, something like that. Yeah, and I just ended up posting on my Snapchat story. I was like, I have a script. If anyone's interested in working, like, text me. And Peter texted me, was like, yeah, man, I'm down. And from then on, we just met up and we kind of just started working on pre-production. It was very on the fly. Like, our first film was a first film. It was like, we have a camera, we have our friends, let's start filming. Whereas I think Swan Song did take, that took a toll on both of us too, and extend the amount of preparation that was needed for that. But yeah, I think it kind of just came out of the blue. Like, it was just something that I eventually decided I wanted to do. I kind of wrote a script and I was like, okay, sure, let's find somebody to work on this with. And then Peter obviously came along and made it this incredible thing with this fantastic mind.
I've definitely always been interested in writing and storytelling. Like, I remember even when I was very young, making little stop motion videos with Lego figures and stuff like that. So I think it's always something that was kind of in the back of my mind. And then in transition year, I got involved in a couple of plays, and there was even this little filmmaking workshop that me and Nikki both did for over 2 days. That I think that stuff like that kind of made me feel like, oh, like, I think I actually could make something. And then, once I saw Nikki's post about how he needed some help, I texted him, which is something that I never do. I never like put myself forward for stuff, but I'm so glad I did, because it was a great experience. And then, yeah, that led to us making Swan Song last year.
That is amazing. And it sounds like you have quite the journey making that film. I mean, between the both of you, I think you both kind of have your own stories to tell. From the looks of things, you both have the experience of making films, like, and it's the work that goes into it. And I think that's why I wanted to do this kind of series of episodes. I wanted to highlight the work that went in, that goes into a film. It's not just film, edit, release, like a lot of people think it is. There's work behind it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The song was a long, long production, much longer than we were intending.
We started writing the script in
February, probably.
February, yeah. And we were like, oh, it'll be released by June. That was our day for it to be screened in the school. And obviously it didn't get released until, God, what, in December, was it?
I think it was January this year.
January, yes. Yeah. So it ended up taking about 6 months long. Because we had a good few setbacks, especially the data loss was the biggest hit. A week into our shoot, our entire shoot was lost. Our hard drives corrupted, so the entire production just took a halt.
No way, guys!
And it was really awful as well, because we were renting the equipment. We only had it for a week, so at that point we knew that there was no way we were going to get it into the festival for our school. So we ended up going back and reshooting for 2 days in July. We had to rent the equipment again. But there was just so much chaos and
literally everything that went wrong, I think, went wrong.
God, but listen, guys, you still made this amazing film.
Oh yeah,
somehow, miraculously.
Definitely, guys, you did it. Like, and fair play to you. That was, I say, it was a journey and a half, but you did it, so fair play to you. That is amazing. And listen, you've put the film into Fresh, you've got rewarded through Fresh. So tell us the award you won. And
so we won the Virtual Audience Choice Award, and to be honest, that I only got the plaque there the other day. I didn't even know that was coming, and that was such a lovely surprise to receive in the post, just to have something physical to hold, because I think it was just released on Instagram. And even when it was released, I remember just being like, oh God, we actually did it. Like, we won something. This was worth it. Like, I don't know, it was a really enjoyable festival. I was in college, actually, in class at the time when I was watching it, while I was held online. I don't think I'm pronouncing this right, but there was an animated film, Obelite or something, maybe.
Yes, by Max Hederson.
Yeah, I remember watching that and I was like, oh wow, there's a lot of competition here. Like, this is really good. And seeing that we actually ended up winning was just, I don't know, it was bizarre. It was mind-blowing. Like, I remember texting into the group and being like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, just absolutely freaking out. Being like, oh God, we won. The experience I had with Fresh was absolutely incredible. Like, a really it was cathartic. Like it made me feel like the work that me and Peter both put in was kind of, you know, it was worth it at the end of it. After all that stress, tears, and sweat, it came to a nice conclusion.
Yeah, I think it's really nice. There's a lot of fear, I think, and anxiety with putting something out there and thinking, like, does anyone care? Will anyone watch it? Does it matter? And then getting to see that people do care and people do appreciate the work you put in is just really nice.
Yeah, I think the amount of respect filmmakers have for each other, firstly, I want to say that is unbelievable. It really is. Like, I think when I went to Fresh as well, the respect everybody had for everyone's films. Like, animators were going up to people who wrote comedies. The comedy people were going up to people who wrote drama. Like, everyone was mingling. And it didn't matter what kind of film you made, you still had respect for the other people's film.
Yeah.
And it was just the support and the admiration is unbelievable. And I'll never forget, you know, people coming up to each other and going, actually, that was amazing. And Max went on to win, you know, second place in the competition this year. Yeah, which is unreal. He's such a talented guy. Oh my God. But everyone said it. The level of talent and the standard this year was through the roof.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal.
So everybody who got an award, who went through to the regionals finals, like, they so deserves it. It is just insane.
It was really great to see all the films. I mean, it's mad how diverse the types of movies that went in were.
Absolutely. And
I mean I have a lot of respect, I think, for animators, even though I know nothing about visually like drawing or anything like that. Just having to put that time in to fully create something yourself just with your hands, you know. So I think that idea that people who create different types of films still have respect for each other, there's a sort of a shared experience, I guess, with making movies.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. Do you have any tips for any filmmakers or people listening that just want to start filmmaking but don't necessarily know how to?
I mean, it's difficult. I think the best advice, and this might sound not that helpful, but the best advice you can give anyone who's looking to get into filmmaking is just to start. Because I think a lot of people hold off on it. There's a lot of people that have interest but hold off on getting into it because they don't think they don't have the experience or the skills, or they don't have the right equipment, but the best thing you can do is just to start and to figure it out as you go, because you don't need fancy equipment. You can just do it on your phone. If you don't have actors or a crew or anything, just ask your friends, ask people, you know, because there's always people who are willing to help out. And you know, by the end of it, you may not have a perfect film, but you'll have experience, and that experience going forward will be so helpful the next time you try to make a movie.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I think that's great advice. Nikki, are you the same? What advice can you
offer? I'd second that, yeah. And I think Peter would agree with me here when, like, the amount of obstacles that we were kind of facing during Swan Song, I believe truly taught us more than I think a year or two in college would have taught us. Like, because it's the small things that you disregard. It's like, oh, you have a scene where two characters are talking, but they have to get from point A to point B. And he didn't think about the camera movement from point A to point B. And then you're there on set and you're stressed because people you have to abide by a time schedule. And like, oh God. And you just have to figure it out on the fly. As you do that, you get better with it. It's like a muscle almost, you know what I mean? It's muscle memory at one stage. So yeah, just get up and start filming. Like, it's the only way. And you have so many tools at your disposal now, as well as YouTube. Look up a tutorial, anything. You can edit on your phone, film on your phone, and figure out how to do it on YouTube. This is genuinely, I think, we're in one of the best eras for filmmakers to just start getting up and doing things. It's all at your disposal.
Yeah, I think that's great advice as well. And people forget that. I think when people see like the fancy films on screen, like the whole idea that they can do it with their phone or with the camera they have at home completely goes over their head. So I think that's why it's so important to see, you know, films that young people make on screen and show that they can get there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, give yourselves a plug. How can we watch Swan Song? I believe it's on YouTube.
It is. Swan Song is on YouTube under the YouTube channel name of Crack House Films, which is something we made when we were about 15, which is hard to say to people, I think, right now. But yeah, Crack House Films is where it's under on YouTube. If you go to my Instagram, Kinkladze Films, it'll also be a link to there in the bio as well. You can click on that and see it there. And also underneath that, we have our first film there, if you're interested. If you like the second one, you can watch the first.
Perfect. And yeah. I'll put the link to the film down below in the description box below as well, so people can go and watch it there as well. So guys, I suppose we've kind of reached the end of our episode, the end of our interview. It's been so lovely to chat to you, but I do want to ask the final two questions, which is, what is one quote you live by and why? Nikki, do you want to start first?
Sure. One quote that I wouldn't even say I live by, but I think is important for filmmakers is the Confucius quote, which is, everything has beauty, but not everyone sees it. And I think it's kind of, you know, it's a fundamental obligation for filmmakers to abide by that. You know, we need to show beauty in things that most people maybe not be able to see. Like, beauty isn't just, I don't know how to put it, it's not just something that you perceive, it's an actual emotion. You don't just see something, go, oh, that's, but you feel it inside. And I think that's what's, again, it's an obligation for filmmakers to show that to other people, that anything really has beauty in it.
Wow, I love that. I think that's really, really nice. And Peter, yourself?
Yeah, I think a quote that, again, I don't think I live by this, but it's really helpful for filmmakers, is Murphy's Law, that anything that can go wrong will go wrong, which might sound a bit pessimistic, but I think it's actually quite liberating, the idea that, you know, when you're going into filmmaking or anything, and especially if you're new to it, you are bound to run into 100 problems that you never anticipated and that you never even thought could be problems. And when that happens, you kind of just have to roll with it, and you just have to figure stuff out on the fly. And don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of running into setbacks and obstacles, because that's what helps you grow.
Yeah, it's the best part.
And listen, I say you guys have grown a lot through Swan Song. I mean, and I see you've been rewarded for it as well. So fair play to you guys. I mean, wise words there. I really love that, what you've said. That's really nice. And one thing you'd want people to take away from our conversation here today.
I think it's what we were talking about before, the kind of advice, like, if you're interested in filmmaking, you know, get up and do it. Like, there's another quote here that I actually like as well. It's like, 1 hour of doing something is worth a lot more than 1,000 hours of thinking about it. Get up and start doing it. It's the only way to learn, really. You know, you can sit down and you can be wondering, oh, but what if I can't do this right? And what if, just do it and you'll figure it out. It will happen. It'll take time, but it'll happen, and you'll feel good after it. Trust me. I'm one of these people who thought about something for way too long, and I wish I started younger. So trust me, just get up and start filming, whether it's with your phone, with your brother's camera, with whatever it is, just get up and start going.
Yeah, I'd second that. I think really just the fact that anyone can make a movie. All you really need is just an idea and a bit of motivation and some help from some of your friends, and that's all you need. Like,
on your way, happy days.
Guys, I cannot wait to see where you go next in your filmmaking careers, and I wish you all the best with everything. So I encourage everyone now to go to the description box below, check out Swan Song, get some popcorn, sit back and enjoy the film, because I certainly did. Yeah, I won't spoil anything, but it's such a cinematic film, and it's just, yeah, really beautifully done. So really, guys, really huge congratulations, and it was such a pleasure to chat to you.
Thank you so much for having us on.
And that is all. That is it for this week's episode. Thank you all so much for listening to the end. As ever, please make sure to like, comment, review the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to. It really, really helps grow this community and grow this podcast to an even bigger platform than it's already growing. It's truly incredible. A huge thank you again to absolutely everybody I've interviewed on this episode. And you can find all the short films and links that we've talked about in this episode today in the description box below. So I encourage you now to cuddle up with a good blanket and pop yourself some popcorn and get a good drink and sit down and watch all these incredible films with incredible music and incredible messages. So until we chat again, keep safe, and I will chat to you all very, very soon.
Thanks for listening, giving us your time to tune in. Join Emily, same time next week on Talk About It.
The intro and exit music you hear on every episode is by the very talented Hannah Kinsella. She's a singer-songwriter from Ireland in County Dublin. If you want to go show her some support, you can follow her on her Instagram page and YouTube at Busky Bops.